to invite, I already call them good friends, great friends, Valora and Lejean here this morning with us. They're going to minister the word of the Lord this morning. Sometimes you just meet people that you've got kindred spirit. And even though you haven't known them for a long time, you know them. Simple as that. God gathers people together that are of a similar spirit. So that's how I feel. And so I'm just going to ask them to come up. And Lejean, would you come and introduce your wife to us? And so,
amen. Hallelujah. Good, good. Well, you know, that's good enough for me. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. As he is our Lord of lords and King of kings. He is who was and is and always will be. Amen. So we're excited. I'm going to take about 30 seconds. I'm going to do what every good husband does. I'm going to let my wife go first. And she is a phenomenal woman of God. She has prayed me through some stuff and been there with me through some stuff. I tell you, it was her prayer and her anointing that got me in Florida. And I'm not going to take long, because if I tell the whole story, it'll take me 2 hours and 25 minutes. And I understand we can't be here for 5 hours. Anybody agree with me? Say amen. And so I'm going to let her say a couple things, because she is anointed to change atmospheres. Amen.
Well, certainly this is, amen, this is the day that the Lord has made. We come to rejoice and to be glad in it. Amen. Do you believe that God is really who he say he is? That he still heals, he still delivers, he still sets free. I'm here today because I am the witness and I am the evidence that God still heals. In 2007, the doctor sent me home to die. They said I had a brain tumor and that there was nothing that they could do for me, that I was going to die and not live. And so as I begin to ponder over that, I said, God, maybe this is the end for me. And if so, it's okay. But God began to remind me that I could not die because my promise was still alive. Anybody have some promises from God? And you're waiting for the manifestation of those promises to come to pass. I'm here to let you know that your promise cannot die. That every dream and every vision that God has placed and given to you, every prophetic promise that he has released into your life, it shall surely come to pass. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he will certainly make it good. I am the evidence that whatever God said, he certainly has made it good for me. I'm here to declare that I am alive and well. I'm alive and well. It wasn't the oncologist. It wasn't the neurologist. It wasn't chemotherapy. It wasn't radiation. And it certainly was not surgery. It was the hand of God. It was his word. Because God sent his word and he healed me. And so we've got to understand who we are. We've got to understand that our testimony has value. And so we've got to be able to release. We've got to be able to speak and let people know that God is still God. That he's still God today. We can tell them about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they want to know, is he the same God today? And you say, yes, I am the evidence. I am the evidence that God is who he say he is. We're so excited to be here. I tell you, God is doing so many amazing things throughout the world. We have to understand that we serve a global God. He's a global God. And sometimes within all of us, and I would just say within myself, sometimes we sort of limit God based on our own experience. We limit God based on our region or our country. But God is literally blowing our minds as to what he's doing and how he's doing it. So, and I just feel that we're in a season that we have, only thing I can term it as is nobody but God. We were connected because it was nobody but God that he did this. So thank you all so much for having us. I'm so excited about what my husband is about to release. Amen. And I really sense that it is a word for right now. It is a word that you can take hold of and apply it to your life and walk in the manifestation of it. Well, are you ready to receive the word? Are you ready to receive everything that God has for you? So even now, Father, we thank you for your power, for your strength, for your glory. We thank you, God, that angels are in this place, that there are ministering angels and warring angels, angels on assignment with the word concerning these your people in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper. And every tongue that has risen up against us in judgment, we condemn it right now. This is our heritage. We are your servants. We release the fire of God in this place. Come on. God, your word declares that you are a consuming fire. So God, we thank you for Holy Ghost and fire. We thank you, God, for tongues of fire that is being released in this place. In the name, healing will take place as the word goes forth. Signs, wonders, and miracles, hey, will come into being in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to present to you, amen, Apostle LaJean M. Cole, Sr., a great man of God. Now, I'm not just saying this because he's my husband, but he's also my apostle. He's the one that has discipled me. I think I'm his best student. I'm his best student. And so he's been discipling me for a little over 8 years. We met one day, and 2 months later, we got married. So a month later, we started the church, and I'm like, God, what were you thinking? You know, but God had a plan, and his plan has already manifested so many things. Amen. Thank you.
All right. I think he said he got the video working. This work. Okay, good. Good. This is our YouTube channel. I just want to play this video. I get excited. I get pumped. And if I'm going to preach to you, you got to let me get pumped, because I like getting pumped. And then once we get pumped, then we can go forth, right? Okay, let's check it out. All right.
Are you ready for your 76 years? Are you ready to see your fruit? Are you ready to see your life? Are you ready to walk in your God-given purpose and fulfill your destiny? Let every red light be turned to green suddenly. Let every tear be dried up suddenly. Let every barrier suddenly flourish. Let every weary person receive strength suddenly. Let every stagnant place suddenly accelerate. Let every dry bone suddenly live. Let everything that you have held up be released suddenly. Let every closed door open suddenly. Let every blocked plan and scheme against your life be rendered null and void suddenly. Let suddenly pursue, overtake, and consume you.
How many people are ready for God to do something in your life that you've been waiting on to do something suddenly? Anybody in the house?
Yeah.
Amen. I see three hands up. Amen. That means it's going to be a long preaching service. Three hands means a long preach. 50 hands means let's preach real quick, preacher. Okay. Good, good. We're so excited, so excited, as Pastor Dave said, and it was such a blessing to meet Pastor Matilda. Just amazing. You guys have a phenomenal church here, a phenomenal, phenomenal leaders. Let's give God a hand for your leaders. You know, I have this thing, and I'm going to get to the text. Give me about 32 more seconds. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for Jonathan and Albert, who were watching one of our Periscopes Facebook Lives, and then they were just bold. I don't know if they was bold enough or crazy enough to come to you and say, I want to bring these people from the United States, and you're like, I never met them before, I never seen them before, and but I really felt like he felt God. He said, okay, I trust them. I know this is a little far fetched and wild, but we're going to trust it, brother. We're going to go with it, and so we're thankful for them as well for just connecting us with Pastor Dave and Pastor Matilda. Just an amazing, amazing ministry here. And what God is doing. I believe that this is, if not the best church in the earth, I believe it's the best church for you in the earth. Amen? And so you got to believe that. You got to believe that this is the set place. This is the place that God has for you, and that there is something unique. There is something special that God deposits in you through your man of God as he ministers to you in the team. And so, because one of the things that I realized, because I pastor a church, I don't just travel, the other cities and other countries. I actually pastor a church. And sometimes when you pastor a church, now this doesn't happen in Australia, this only happens in America, that this happens. But sometimes when you pastor a church, the people in your church don't necessarily always appreciate you as much as people appreciate you when you're on the road. Now, again, that only happens in America. That does not happen in Australia. Because in Australia, you guys appreciate your pastor. You make it so good for your pastor that he never ever wants to leave and go preach anywhere else, you know? Sometimes I'm off on the road, and when I get home, they're like, are you home for a while? And I'm like, it depends on how you treat me. If you treat me good, I'll be here. If you don't treat me good, brother, I'm gone, because somebody else is going to love me, you know? And so it's always good to appreciate your leaders, appreciate them, honor them, bless them, because nobody ever knows the real sacrifice that leaders go through to build a ministry. And something, you got one of the greatest compliments
that I think any leader can get. Let me tell you what this compliment was. I was talking to somebody before service, and so as I was talking to them, he was talking about how I said, "What's Pastor been preaching on for the last couple of weeks?" And he was saying that you'd really been talking about faith and righteousness and obedience. And I began to know why we have a kindred spirit, because there are times, can I be transparent for about 22 more seconds, that there are times when as a pastor, I am challenged because I'm talking about faith in God and obedience to God. And this is not the popular message. People don't want to hear about the power of God and obeying God and doing what's right. But you will not experience the supernatural power of God unless there is a lifestyle of obedience, unless there is a lifestyle of holiness. Amen. Because I believe holiness is still right in the church. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter how fast their church grows. None of that matters. What matters is because you could have a fast growing church and it could explode. And I'm telling you, everybody in there could be on their way to hell in a handbasket. But I'm telling you, if you preach the straight and narrow, brother, if you preach the unadulterated word of God with power and with signs and wonders following, I'm telling you, when you get to heaven and you stand before God, when that day comes, he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because I would hate to preach and tickle men's ears and have men excited about me being with them. And then all of a sudden I get there and all of a sudden he says, "Listen, brother, you don't have an inheritance here. Your key does not work in the door." And I'm telling you, that's going to be a tough thing, because I'm telling you, anybody ever been where the locks were changed on your house? Come on, somebody, and you can't get in the house. That's painful. And so, brother, if you preach the word, if you preach the word with power, when you get to the door, your key is going to work in the door. Amen. So we thank God for your leaders. We thank God for their anointing, for their strength, even for their vision. I was just in Trinidad about 2 weeks ago, and everywhere we go in the nations, we always want to go to the places where people are impoverished, where people don't have as much as other people. And so we just have this passion. I can't go somewhere and I preach and, we did such a great job, but you never see how people really live in different places. And so when I saw the video, and then he began to talk about, I think Pastor Matilda began to talk about how oftentimes, these people live in the rubbish pile, and sometimes we don't understand, again, the sacrifices that other people make in other countries and the freedom. And I'm telling you, I live in America, brother. Sometimes, man, let me tell you something. We are one of the most spoiled nations that there is. We are the most, we have entitlement issues. We think that everything is supposed to be just given to us, and it just doesn't work like that. And so sometimes you go to these other nations. And so I was with this church the other day, and I asked the pastor, I said, "Well, what's that neighborhood?" Because it looked like a shanty town. And he looked back at me. He said, "Brother, you don't want to go over there. They got guns. They got, they got some tough stuff over there." And I said, "Man, that's the place that I'm sent to. I'm sent to go to the places that Jesus would have went to, where people are hurting, where people are not doing well." And so I applaud your mission and the vision of this great church, because when you can get outside yourself, let me tell you something, if you've not been on that missions team and going with him, you need to go, because when you go over to those places and you see, it is not as bad as I thought it was. Our entitlement mentalities go out the window. Our thought of superiority, it goes out the window. And as bad as we thought it was, it goes out the window. Amen. Well, I know I only have about 2 more minutes and 25 seconds, so I want you to turn in your Bible very quickly to Mark chapter 5. And I want to go to Mark chapter 5, very, very familiar passage of scripture. And I'm going to start at verse 21. Most of you have read this scripture all your life. How many people have their Bible? Lift your hand if you have your Bible. Okay, now put that hand out. Lift your hand if you don't have your Bible. Okay, tell yourself, shame on you, shame on you, because if the computer goes down, brother, we in trouble. Amen. If this stuff, you got to have a Bible these days. I still got a Bible. I got my phone, I got my tablet, but I still got a Bible. I'm saying some stuff, old school. You might say that's old school, brother, but some old school stuff still works. I remember when I was in the military, the last time I was in Australia, I was in Townsville, and we were there with the military base. And so we had these, you have GPSs. So everywhere you go, you have a GPS. But old school soldiers, we had a map, too, because you never know when the GPS is going to go down. And so when the GPS goes down, brother, you need a map, because you won't find your way. Sometimes we're traveling somewhere. My wife is she's new school. And so she'll pull out her phone and she has the little directions going, and she'll have, the line by line thing. And I'm saying, "Baby, nope, that ain't gonna work for me. I need a map. I need to see where I'm going, because sometimes Siri doesn't know where she's going. She gets lost." Amen. Let me tell you something. One time, I'm getting to the scripture in about 22 more seconds. We were in, and I don't know how stuff goes here in Australia, but we were in Mississippi one night. In Mississippi, in America, is a little bit different town. especially if you have skin that's as beautiful as mine. And so you can read between the lines. You can catch that tomorrow sometime, because my skin is just a little bit different than some people in the room. Praise the Lord. And so we were there, and we were driving, and she was listening to Siri, man, and she was listening to it. And so I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were back down into a little wheat field somewhere. And I'm like, girl, where in the world are we? She said, I don't know. This is where Siri told me to go. I said, baby, you need a map, because Siri will get you lost. You hear me? And not only will Siri get you lost, Siri will get you killed. Come on. And it's just that dangerous with not having your word. Because you, if your computer, if your phone goes off or something, man, you need the word. You need the power of the word of God. And so you got to keep your Bible, brother. Don't come to church without your Bible, because you come to get instructions, not just to be entertained and fellowship with your best friend. You come to get a tangible anointing so that when you leave this place, you walk out those doors and lives are changed and impacted for the glory. You walk by somebody and just your shadow heals them. Come on. You ought to be so full of the Holy Ghost that if a mosquito bites you, he gets drunk in God. Come on now. Yeah. So come on, let's look at the scripture. 12 more minutes and 18 seconds later, we'll be done. The Bible says, and that's verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and some people say Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, the Bible said, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the Bible says, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, that thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked around and to see her that had done this. And but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we pray for a supernatural anointing, a tangible anointing of your presence, God. Don't just let this be another word that's logos, that's just preached, oh God, but let this be a tangible rhema, God, that leaps off the pages of the scripture and comes alive in the life of your people, God, that their lives would never be the same, that when they walk out of here, God, they'll be so full of your power and so full of your presence and so anointed with your favor, God, that everywhere they go, people chase them down and ask them, who are you? Where did you come from? And who do you serve? And so, Father, we bless them and we decree, God, that your scriptures would be open to us like never before. Give us fresh revelation, God. We don't want the manner of yesterday, but we want that which you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. 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 If you're not excited now, you're going to be excited in a few minutes. I'm going to give you something to shout about and to get excited about. So I'm looking at the text now. I stopped there. There's another piece of the text that we didn't cover, but here is Jesus. And so Jesus is, the Bible said he'd come by ship. And so he's, you know, he's going through, and all of a sudden, when he gets there, all of a sudden, this man, he falls down at his feet. And the scripture said his name was Jairus. And we know that oftentimes they don't really give us a name for people. Most times it's a certain woman or a certain man. And so when God does give us a name, there is something significant. And when the gospel writer tells us something like that, there is a significance to it. And so we got to take note. And so here he is talking to about the scripture of this woman. And so it is an interesting passage of scripture, because it's what we call a parenthetic, that there's one piece of scripture that's lodged into another one. And they're two totally different scriptures if we were to look at it with the regular eye. But when we look at it much deeper, we understand that there is a synergy between the two texts that we come into an understanding of. And there are different parallels and different pieces. The other thing that I found interesting is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all which are synoptic gospels, talk about this text, and they talk about this story. So there is something when God echoes it, and he says it by two or three people, there is something that God ultimately wants us to extract from it and begin to really gain a fresh perspective of. Does that make sense? I want to make sure that my hermeneutics and my homiletics are correct, because I don't want any trouble from Pastor Dave. I want to be able to have friendship for many years, and so I want to make sure that my interpretation is accurate and correct and proper. And so as we look at this text, there's a word that's used, and this word that they use, and it says that straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And when we began to this whole series on suddenly, we realized that God tells us that suddenly there were things that happened. Suddenly Paul and Silas were freed from jail, and suddenly Peter was freed, and suddenly the woman with the issue of blood, suddenly Jairus' daughter was resurrected. So there are things in Scripture that God does suddenly. It doesn't take him all night to do it, but it's going to take faith to really reach into that place and extract the miracles of God. It's going to take hungry people. You can't come in lukewarm and think that the power of God is going to hit you with this thing. And sometimes, again, in America, not in churches, in Australia, because in Australia, everybody is full of fire. We're excited. We're excited about the power. Lift your hands if you're excited about the power. You love the Lord. Yes, I'm in the right church this morning. I was afraid that I was then going to get the wrong directions to the wrong church and be at the wrong place, but I see that I'm in the right place. And so we look at this word, and straightway, and there's another word, suddenly, and then there's another word, immediately. And all three of these words are synonyms for the same word, which means that God is going to do it for you right now. That you're expecting Him to do something miraculous. You need God to save. You need God to deliver. You need God to heal. You need God to open doors, to release breakthrough for you. And you don't have all month. You don't have all year. You don't have the rest of your life to get the healing that you need. You don't have the rest of your life. You don't have 2 or 3 weeks. I sent somebody a package, and they sent me a text back, and I said, I called them, and I said, did you get it yet? And they said, you sent it by snail mail. They said, never send money to me by snail mail. Amen. Brother, PayPal it to me. Do anything you can do with it, but don't send it by snail mail. And some of us, we can't wait on snail mail to get us. We can't wait on God to deliver our breakthrough. We don't want to wait on God. We don't want to have to wait 12 years like this woman did, but we need to meet God in one moment of faith and see supernatural mysteries and victories and other things happen in our life. Amen. And so here is this woman, and she is, the Bible said that she had done, there's 12 years of her life. I began to look at the text, and I thought about it. I said, you know, and maybe some of you have studied the text more than I have, and maybe you know a little bit more biblically about this thing. I think I got 7 minutes and 22 seconds to get to my point, and we're going to be done. Amen. But maybe, how many biblical scholars? I want to make sure I'm in the right place. How many biblical scholars are in the house? Okay, I got my eyes on a couple of y'all. I know y'all know this stuff. And so all of a sudden, I'm looking at the text, and I'm thinking about it, and I asked the question. We have the school of discipleship, and so I'm very big on really people getting really correct biblical exegesis. Make sure you exegete in the text, because a bad interpretation, you don't have, it gives you false revelation, and then there's no power behind that. If you're not interpreting what Jesus was really trying to say, brother, you'll be believing a lie for the rest of your life, you know? And so we have so many people that have been believing lies, and they're not seeing the manifestation of the things they're praying for, because it's not founded on biblical truth. And so I'm looking at the text, and I had one spiritual daughter. She was preaching, and you know, I believe in women preachers, and my wife preaches, and you know, some of people don't believe in that stuff, and I'm watching for the apples and the oranges to be thrown at me. Don't stone me this morning, brother. I'm backing up slowly with my hands in the air, and so I'm watching y'all. I got my eye. Keep your hand out of your pocket. I see you. And so so here is this woman, and she talked about how this woman had this issue of blood, and with the issue of blood, that she had to call unclean and other things when she came into the city. But my challenge with that is that this isn't Old Testament Leviticus. This is New Testament. And so I had to try to figure out whether or not this was still a principle that adhered to the New Testament environment, because now we're in the midst of Gentiles. And sometimes Gentiles just didn't adhere to stuff that everybody else was doing within the, you know, within the culture of Israel. And so I looked at that, but I still knew that no matter what, there were people who would not have necessarily accepted her in their environment because of her issue, because of her problem. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt ostracized, where for a long time you were dealing with something, and this issue and this problem had you in a place where you're like, my God, if you can do it for anybody, do it for me. If you can change my situation, if you can change my circumstance, God, I need you to do it, because God, it's embarrassing when I walk through places and people know my situation and they know what I've been through. They know what I've had to deal with. And God, I need you to do something for me. I can't do for myself. God, I paid all my money. Everything I've got, I paid it. I've given it up. And if the doctors could help me, it would be done. But God, for whatever reason, here I am. I'm still sick. I'm still with this infirmity. And all of a sudden, we hear about this man named Jesus. And the Bible said he's coming through the city. And so here, Jesus is really on his way somewhere else. And he's on his way to Jairus' house. And for whatever reason, this woman says, listen, Jesus, I don't care where you're on your way to. You're going to give me my meal. miracle today. I need you to touch me. I need you to move for me because I am in a tough position. And so at that moment, she reaches down. Again, I'm sure Jesus had his people. You know, he had the 12 disciples. I'm sure there were other people that were following him. The Bible said much people thronged him. And so is Jesus with his entourage. You know how you're walking with your entourage. You got lots of people in the front of you and behind you. Y'all have seen it before. And so all of a sudden, this woman reaches out. She said, man, I don't care if it's illegal for me to get close to you. I don't care if it's wrong for me to do it. I'm not concerned about any of that. I need God to do something for me. Doesn't matter who likes it. Doesn't matter who doesn't agree with it. Amen. If it kills me, I die today because this is the day that I'm going to get my breakthrough. I heard about his power. I heard about his anointing. I heard about his ability to heal, to set free and deliver. And whatever it takes, I'm going to get there today, brother. You can try to keep me back. You can try to hold me back. You can try to tell me that it's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, whatever it takes, I'm getting my breakthrough today. And I'm telling you, if more people in the church would come to church hungry, the preacher would preach different. If you would come to church hungry, if you would come to church saying, I'm going to get my breakthrough today. I'm coming into the presence of a holy God, and I want to see what God can do for me. I want to hear the Lord speak to me. I need to know that God has the ability to turn my situation around. I know it looks bad. I know it's been 12 years. I've been like this for 12 years. I've spent everything that I got. Imagine a woman. Now, this is the Bible, but imagine a woman being in that place of having that blood flow. And for many women, you understand, having that blood flow for 12 years.
Now,
us men, we can't understand some of this stuff. But the women could understand. That thing comes on one day, and brother, it never goes off. And you're like, my God, you mean to tell me I got to live like this the rest of my life? I really can't get married because no man wants to marry me when I got these kind of problems going on. If I were living according to the Leviticus code, I had to stay away from everybody. I got to be isolated. I really can't work a regular job. I can't really pretend to, you know, take care of myself like I really want to be able to. I can't live the kind of life that you can live because you can get up and go to work every day and make money and take care of yourself. So I got no man who will help me and take care of me. I got to do it on my own, but I can't do it on my own because nobody will hire me, which means that I got to work in the rubbish pile. I got to work in places that are not necessary. I got to work twice as hard to make half as much. And so my life is tough. And even after that, it took me a year or two to save up the kind of money that it took to see the doctor once. And when I went in there, it still didn't work. And so this woman says, I don't care where you're on your way to this morning, Jesus, if you could just stop by here. And so all of a sudden, in the midst of that scenario, Jesus heals her. The Bible says it happened immediately, suddenly, straightway, abruptly. He didn't ask anybody's permission. He didn't check with the religious leaders and say, hey, do you think it's legal for me to heal this woman? Her faith. The word faith here is the Greek word pistis, which is the word means firmly relying trust, which means that no matter what it looked like or feels like, God, I trust you. Our faith has got to go to another level. It's got to go past the place of believing God to a place where our faith arises so we can receive things and we can snatch things out of the heavenly realm and see the supernatural manifestation of it in the earth. In our local church, we made a determination and we said that this was the year of prophetic fulfillment. This is the year. I mean, you go through and year after year, you get a prophetic word and you believe that this is the year that God's going to manifest for you. And we said, nope, it's not going to be another year that we're not going to get the things that God has promised us. We made up our mind and we said that this is going to be the year that every prophetic promise that God has given me is going to manifest. This is the year of prophetic fulfillment. This is the year that God's going to do it suddenly. And so this woman for 12 years had been getting all these promises. And I'm sure there were many people that had tried to tell her that she was going to get better and nothing ever happened to her. I mean, just put yourself in her shoes. If you would just take about 22 seconds and just sit in the seat of the woman with the issue of blood. You're sitting with her, and wherever she sat, now this brother probably wouldn't have sat there for too long beside her. He would have kind of scooted over. That would have been the experience. Yeah, because he knew she was unclean. He knew she had these problems. Wherever she went, she had to carry extra products with her so that she could make sure that she was able to make sure that stuff stayed together. And no matter how much, there was still this smell that came from her. And she sat in places and walked places and went places. And you just never know what she really had to go through. But one day she said, I don't know where this man Jesus is, but I've heard that he has the ability to heal me. And all of a sudden that day she finds him. And she goes countercultural. It wasn't cultural for her to do what she did, but she reaches out and she says, I can't go by your rules today. I need a miracle. I can't go by your prescripted sermon title today. I got a miracle that I need. I need to experience the tangible presence of God. I can't go through what you want me to go through because this thing has hurt me too bad. It's cost me too much. You don't know what I've had to go through. You don't know how demoralized and how ostracized and how marginalized I've been. But if I can just get to the hem of his garment, today I'm going to be healed. And she presses her way and she gets there and all of a sudden she's healed. Now the Bible says it had been 12 years. And so remember we were going to Jairus' house and he's a leader of the synagogue. And Jairus too has a similar story that it wouldn't have been popular for him to go to this religious leader because he's a ruler of the synagogue. You remember Pharisees and Sadducees ruled the synagogue. And so here he is. It's countercultural for him to go talk to Jesus because Jesus was the outlaw. He didn't follow their rules. He didn't do what they said do when he said do it. Amen. And so Jairus is in a similar situation. So this whole text, the gospel writers bring it and put it in the same chapter. They put it in the same context. And there's a reason for that because they want our faith to arise, to believe God for amazing miracles and to see God do something. And he does it twice at the same time. That all of a sudden he heals, and so he's got enough virtue to heal me and heal you at the same time. He's got enough anointing inside of him that he can touch you and lay hands on you, baby, and answer your prayer at the same time on this right side and on the left side. He can answer that one too. He can answer things in America and in Australia at the same time. He can answer something in South Africa and simultaneously do it in Colombia and Bogota and other places. So there's no distance in the spirit. God has the ability to do anything but fail. Are you listening to me? And so here is Jairus. And the Bible says that when Jesus got through healing her, and I know if Jairus would have been with, I mean, you got a daughter. Your daughter sings, sings just beautifully. I mean, just amazing worship comes out of her. And so imagine what he's like as his father who has gone against the grain to go and go get Jesus. And now this woman all of a sudden wants to distract him. If I were him, I'd have been like, woman, I don't know what you need, but I need a miracle too. So you're going to have to wait in line. You ever seen somebody try to skip line? And we were coming in customs, immigration, and we were getting our bags, and we had gotten our bags, and so we're going through the line. And so they said, well, sir, you got to go to the back of the line and get in. And so people were just going in the line, and I'm saying, okay, you want me to go to the back of the line, though? And so we get in the back of the line, and then all of a sudden, when we get to the back of the line, somebody else tries to cut through. My wife says, excuse me, they told us to come to the back of the line, and y'all still cutting line. And so the guy turns around and gets snappy with my wife. Now, you know, I'm only 6 foot tall, 105 pounds. Soaking wet. And so I look at him. I said, sir, I said, please don't be disrespectful to my wife. I said, it's the only wife I got, brother. And you got to treat her. If I got to treat her right, you got to treat her right. Amen. And so this woman skips the line, man. She's skipping the line. Think about this. And I can imagine Jairus is like, man, my daughter is laying dead. You got your issue. You had it 12 years. Brother, you can wait just a few more minutes. But my situation is worse than yours. The Bible says when he got through healing a woman, he got there and they said, don't trouble the master any longer. The girl is already dead. Jesus said, no, she's not dead. He said, hold on. He said, she's just sleeping. And I know Jairus was like, brother, I know you, I understand you, I've heard the stories about you, but I told you she dead. You didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear the words that are coming out of my mouth. She's dead. He said, no, she's only sleeping. And so Jesus goes in. He does something very interesting. He puts everybody out except for the mother and the father. Come on. Because sometimes you got to put people out that don't believe God the way you believe God. Sometimes you got to separate. So when you need a miracle, you need to get away from people that are lukewarm. When you need a miracle, you need to get away from people that don't believe the way you believe. Because some people will tell you it doesn't take all that. You don't have to do all that speaking in tongues, brother. You ain't got to do all that jumping. You don't have to come to church and do all that stuff. You don't have to do all that giving. You don't have to do all that believing. You don't have to be there with your Bible. You just don't have to do that stuff. And sometimes you got to get away from those people that are naysayers and don't believe in God the way you believe for them and are not believing God for a miracle. So Jesus puts all of those unbelievers out. He puts the people in there that have a vested interest in the situation, the mother and the father. He says, you know what? Now this girl, now the Bible said that I think she was 12 years old. I began to ask God, I said, God, what's the symbolism between 12? What's 12 is the number of government. It's the number of order. It's the number of, and so God's saying, I'm going to restore some things. I'm going to restore order. I'm going to restore some old things that passed away, but I'm going to bring a new order and a new system. And I believe even that's a prophetic word, not just for them in that day, but God wants to resurrect some people's faith in here today. He wants to resurrect some people. You're a believer, but you don't believe in the supernatural anymore. Amen. You're in church, but you've been here so long that you stop believing that God can do the supernatural. You stop believing. And pastor's been preaching it. I mean, he's been hammering it home. He's been talking about faith to raise the dead. He's been talking about faith to do this. But sometimes we don't believe God can do it. Our faith has gotten to a place. And the reason I can tell you I know that is because I was in a service just the other day, and I was talking and I was preaching. And so we begin to pray for people, and the supernatural of God, power of God begin to manifest. And so there's some things you can't explain logically. I can't preach this into you. Sometimes you got to experience the supernatural power of God. And so as we began to preach and prophesy and pray for people, all of a sudden the power of God began to come. And when the power of God came, there was a young lady, and I won't say what relationship the young lady was to the leader, but this young lady says, comes up after, she said, I didn't believe in the power of God. She said, I didn't believe that people really fall out under the presence of God. I didn't believe that. She said, but I felt it today. I felt the tangible presence of a holy God. I felt the power. And I had so many people come up to me over the last couple of days and say, I felt the presence of God. It was something different. Amen. And I'm kind of like Jesus. I want those people that don't believe. I want those people that don't believe God can do it. I want to make a believe out of you. That's the first people I want to pray for. I want to pray for people that you don't believe that God can resurrect the dead. That's a good story in the Bible. You know, it's a good nursery rhyme. But brother, I don't believe God can do it. But I'm telling you, I want to pray for some people this morning. If pastor will let me, I want to pray for just a couple of people this morning that say, I need a miracle. I need a supernatural miracle. I need healing in my body. I need God to resurrect dead relationships. I need God to do something in my finances. There's an area in my life where I need God to do something amazing. And I'm telling you, I didn't give you the title of my scripture, but the God of the suddenlies is coming to your house today. Amen. The God of the suddenlies is coming to your house today. There is a supernatural God that wants to come to your house today, and he wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to turn your situation around. I'm telling you, since we've been preaching this, we've got multiple testimonies. I got hundreds of testimonies of people who've seen the power of God release finances in their life. They were facing foreclosures. Their house was about to be taken. Just like this woman with the issue of blood. Just like Jairus' daughter. They needed a miracle from God, and God shows up with a miracle. There were relationships where the wife has gone. She's left the husband, and she said, listen, I'm not coming back. Brother, I don't care how many crocodile tears you cry. I'm not coming back. You can say all you want to, all the sweet stuff, send all the roses. Brother, I'm not coming back. I tell them, I say, you just keep praying. I'm telling you, anoint yourself with this oil, of this anointed oil. Yeah. You sneak in that house, brother, while she's gone. You still got a key. You sneak in that house and anoint that house with oil in the name of Jesus and begin to pray for breakthrough. And I'm telling you, 30 days later, all of a sudden he calls. He said, pastor, you wouldn't believe it. I said, yes, I would, because I know what I prophesied. And I know if I prophesied it, God's going to back it up. There's a Samuel anointing. And if I say it, it's going to come to pass. My 22-year-old, he sent me a message last night, and I broke down in tears. He's a finance major at Kennesaw State University in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's gone through some stuff, man. He was a preemie when he was born, and, you know, we didn't think he was going to live. And so here he is, 22, and he's, you know, sometimes our kids are still working on their testimony. They hadn't got it all together yet, brother. I know your kids got all their testimonies together, but mine, they just didn't have it all together yet. And so he sent me a message last night. He said, Dad, guess what? But because of my sacrifice, because of the tithes and the offering and the giving that I do and the stuff that I do in the nation, sometimes you go places and this weekend they lost our bags and we still don't have them. Come on, we didn't have but a few things, and sometimes you have to sleep places and live places and go through stuff that people would be amazed, and they get excited because they see your highlight reel on Facebook and they don't really know the stuff you really got to go through. When I went to bed last night, I was hurting so bad, and even as I stand here today, there's this cramp in my stomach, and so I'm believing God for your breakthrough when I need him to heal me too. But I understand it's just an attack of the enemy because of the stuff that's happened the last couple of days. It's not something that I ate. It's not something else. It's just the fact that the enemy does not like what's going on, and he wanted to try to distract me and deter me, and he wanted to stop me from getting here. But I know that I'm on assignment. This is not just by chance nor accident. I don't know how many churches there are in Australia, and I could have been anywhere, but there is something special that God wants to do here this morning, and I believe God for it. And so he sends me this message because he says, Dad, guess what? And so I read his letter. Remind you, he didn't graduate yet, but he got an offer letter from a business in San Francisco. And this offer letter says that they want to offer him $70,000 to start out working. When I first started my first job, brother, I was digging ditches and digging graves and cutting the graveyard. So for my son to be able to not have to go through what I went through means that we've sowed seed and we've broken some stuff. And so he won't have to go through the stuff that I had to go through. His first job out of college, he'll be able to go make $70,000 starting out. Come on, he can write his own way. Come on. So I'm telling you, let me give you 2 seconds of my testimony. I've never met my biological father. My biological mother has been in prison all of my life. Come on, I've never lived with her. I lived with my grandmother all my life. She died my grandfather died when I was 13. He didn't want me there. My grandmother had to leave in order to keep me. And so I've been rejected. I've been abandoned. I've been cast away all my life. I have 5 siblings that I know of on my mother's side. I had 6. One of them died at birth. The other 5, of the 5, there's only 2 of us left. One of them died about 8 years ago to a gang fight, had internal bleeding. Some kids beat him up on a basketball court in Chicago. He was 21. My oldest sister died at 33. I was 29. I was in the military. She dies of blunt force trauma of the head. And then my other brother, I buried him last year at 28 years old. And so I'm not a survivor. I'm more than a conqueror in my family. So I didn't just come to preach to you because I needed somewhere to preach or I needed some money. Let me tell you something. That's not why I do it. There's a lot of people that do that. And Pastor Dave knows. He knows there's a lot of people that do ministry for a lot of different reasons. But I do this because I want to see people really tap into the real supernatural power of God. And the same God that blessed me and brought me out of everything that I went through is the same God that wants to bless you and bring you out of everything that you've been dealing with. You've been in tears since I've been here. I want to pray for you. Come on up here. I want to pray for you. You're one of the first ones I want to pray for. Yes, ma'am. I just want to pray with a couple of people. You got a situation today and it looks tough. It looks hard. It looks like it's too hard for God. I want to pray for you. You got a situation in your life going on where you need God to heal you. You need God to deliver you. You need God to move for you. You need God to minister for you. And you don't really even care who sees you. The woman with the issue of blood, she couldn't even be concerned about who saw her. Jairus couldn't be concerned about who saw him going to Jesus. It was unpopular. His friends would disown him. And people knew some of the stuff that was going on. But if it would heal her of those 12 years, the shame and embarrassment of coming to an altar didn't even matter. If it would heal his daughter and bring her back. Because I don't know about you, but I love my baby girl. Man, I love that girl. I'm telling you, there's nothing she could ask me for that daddy wouldn't do for her. So if it's my shame, if it's my embarrassment, I'll gladly take that any day to get the breakthrough. And so who's that other person? I know I didn't just come for one. I know there's somebody else in here that says, I got a situation that looks impossible. Come on, I want you to come. Just want to pray with you. Have my wife to pray with you. My wife's got a powerful testimony too. The doctors gave her up to die in 2007. They released her. Said, you're going to die. You will not live. And she began to prophesy the word of God to herself. She said, can these dry bones live? She kept saying it. She said she listened to Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn had a healing CD. Nothing but scripture. She began to listen to it. And she began to listen to that thing. There she is. 2017 years later, you can't even tell nothing's wrong with her. They said she was down to 100 pounds. They had to give her liquid fat. And so I've seen God do a miraculous thing through her. Come on. We were in Bogota, Colombia. A woman had tumors. This woman had tumors. 2 women had tumors. And the woman had tumors. And she didn't have the money. The doctor said there's nothing that they could do. She laid hands on them tumors and they went back to the doctor and they were healed. So we're not talking about what we heard. We're talking about what we know. So I'm just going to start down. I'm going to start with you and then I'm going to go to this end. And I don't know what it is that you need. Just turn. Come on, turn and just face me. I don't know what it is that you need. But I just want to touch and agree. You have some of your oil. Pastor, I had some back there, but I want to use yours. I believe there's some anointing on your oil. Where is, yes, God's going to do it. Whatever the thing is that you're praying God for and believing, I'm going to move quickly after this one. Yes. Does he need healing? Yes. You know, when I looked at you, I saw healing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that even as I make her a point of contact, God, for healing him, God, that even as you did it, God, even as the Bible said, Jesus sent his word and healed us. And so, Father, we stand in the authority that you owe, God. I decree now in the name of Jesus, God, that even as you've done it for us, even as you've changed and transformed, even as this mother stands, oh God, even as Jairus came on behalf of his daughter with a petition, God, even as this mother, you hear her heart, you hear her cry, and you see the brokenness of her situation. And Father, I pray that now in the name of Jesus, God, that even in this young age, that God, you see this young man in the place where he is, Father, that you begin to rise him up. And God, even as you did it for my wife, make him a testimony of your power, make him a testimony of your glory in the name of Jesus. Father, let supernatural healing be, oh God, his portion in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of infirmity, and I come against it, and I command now even infirmity to be uprooted in his body, even in his little body. Now I command it to be uprooted, God, even in that place where he is, oh God, and let your healing anointing flow fresh, God. Let your power, even before we came, you told us that there would be healings in the room. And so, God, we believe, God, that we read the right scripture, that we're in the right place, and our faith is in the right place to believe you for supernatural miracles. So, Father, we stand in the gap of intercession, and God, we send your word by power and by authority, and we command, oh God, even that spirit of infirmity to loose him now in Jesus' name. Let your power flow. Oh God, healing, healing. Hey God, and even bless her. Bless her for all the pain she's had to endure. But I don't know the situation, God, but what I do is I know you. And I know your word declares you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. If you said it, shall you not do it? If you spoke it, shall you not make it good? You said there's nothing too hard for you. They said there's nothing impossible with you. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that even as you've done miraculous things for me, God, you're doing it for him. And we'll get the testimony, God. Oh, God, of your glory. You'll get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for this man of God. And God, I don't know all the things that he's desiring of you, but what I do know about him is his heart is pure and he loves you. And so, Father, I pray even as I touch and agree and stand in agreement with him that our two faiths put together, God, is going to begin to cause supernatural miracles to manifest. Everything that's been held up, God, in the earth, God, pertaining him and concerning him, I pray now for supernatural increase and supernatural, oh God, let it be released now in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. A fresh filling. A fresh filling. Even for the weary places, a fresh filling. Oh God, let your spirit overwhelm him. Let your glory come like never before. Oh God, let your glory come upon him now in Jesus' name. Oh God. Stir up every gift. Stir up every gift, every anointing. And I decree, even within the next 7 to 14 days, everything he's praying about and believing you for is going to come to pass. He's going to see the manifestation. He'll come back and he'll tell his pastor. He said, this thing came to pass. We'll get the report, God. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus for this young lady. God, everything that she desires. Dear God. Oh, let your healing come. Oh God, let your virtue come now. Supernatural manifestation of your presence. Sweep this building. Every person, even that doesn't believe, make a believer out of them, God. Cause them to know you like they've never known you before. Cause them to see you. Oh God. Oh God. Don't bring me all the way from the United States, God, and leave your people the same. Oh God, touch them right now. Oh God, touch them. Hey God, let her feel your tangible presence. Overwhelm her with your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. What do you want him to do? What do you need him to do for you? Tangible.
tangible to you. Let healing be tangible to you. Let breakthrough be tangible to you. That he's believing you for breakthrough. He needs you to do what he cannot do for himself. And so, God, even the loved one he's praying for, God, let the manifestation of your prophetic promise come to him. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Let him come to this altar and his faith not be answered, God. Let it come. She's even believed that God knew what he was. She wondered if she was worthy enough for you to do it for her. Father, I pray for supernatural anointing and breakthrough. I pray that everything that's been held up, everything that's behind time, everything that the enemy has sent against her to try to stop the breakthrough in her life, God, I pray now that there is a breakthrough. It's your power. It's your power that causes breakthrough in her life. It's your power overwhelming. Let virtue flow, even as it flows from Jesus. Let the anointing breaks every yoke, destroys. Oh God, everything that's been held up, I pray for her now. I pray an anointing of breakthrough upon her. Every area of her life, God, everything she's desiring from you, God, you give it to her. Break. Everything's been held to break and loose and let it go for her. Oh God. Oh God, let it go for her. Such a sweet presence of God in this place. Sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, yes, God. Release your spirit in another dimension. Great woman of God. Powerful anointing. Strong prophetic anointing. God, increase the gift to answer every prayer. Every prayer, every petition, everything she stands in need of, God, answer it today. Because you've been faithful. You've been serving me for a while. You really love me. So I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to answer your petition. This man of God. Thank you for your service in the house of the Lord. And I pray now for the overwhelming presence of your Spirit. Applied for, but there's a place you applied for that they said no,
But God said, go back again. He said, go back again. Go back again. I hear the Lord say, you apply for the job. He turns you down. But he says, go back again. There was a scripture where the prophet said the rain was coming into the land. The Bible said that the first time he sent a servant out to look, there was no rain. He went seven times. On the seventh time, he said he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. The Lord said, go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. And it's going to be yours. And healing, I release it now in the name of Jesus. Go back. You're going to give me the testimony. I went back. It was supernatural. I kept going back. I kept going back. They said no the first time. They said no the second time. But now, they released my breakthrough. And this place that you're at now today, you'll never see this place again in your life. You'll never be in that place again. You'll never be broke another day in your life. You'll never have what be without another day in your life. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. God, as she's come, praying for your presence. Pray for supernatural anointing, God, that you meet her faith, even as a woman with issue of blood, even Jairus' daughter. Bring back that which looked like it was dead. Bring it back. Resurrect it, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, do that which they said is impossible. Turn it around, God. You're the God of a turnaround. You're the God who can visit our houses and suddenly things are turned around and things are changed. So I pray for supernatural breakthrough, supernatural increase, supernatural expansion, overflow. Let it be our portion now. And let a tangible anointing for suddenly be her portion. In Jesus' name. Oh, God. Know the answer. Sometimes we run from our assignment. Sometimes we want to be back in our comfort zone. But the places that have been the toughest for me to stand have been the places that I've been blessed the most. So I hear the Lord say, stand. Don't run through your comfort zone. Be in the place of purpose. Do what I called you to do. The great calling on your life. You need to be in a place where that's cultivated, developed, and fulfilled. The confirmation for you today is stand. 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 Confirm it, God. Confirm it to her. Give her a peace. Give her a peace. Lord, say stand. I'll move out of purpose. Father, bless this Lord, God. What do you want the Lord to do? Yes, every broken place, I command it to be healed now. In the name of Jesus, let your wind blow upon her. Even your ruach, let it blow upon her. A fresh wind, a fresh wind, a fresh wind. A fresh wind upon her now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, restore her. God, refresh her. God, release a fresh wind to her in the name of Jesus. Release it to her now, like never before. Healing for your body. In the name of Jesus, I command it to come. I command every spirit of infirmity to loose now. Let it go. Oh God, let her be at peace.